This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Brock Rahm.
Yep, I'm big on TikTok, yeah. That's me.
And Darius Thomas.
Hey, guy!
Music licensing has been a hot-button topic around the industry for a while now, so it's time we brought in some help to unpack music usage and licensing. MG from APM Music is our guest today. From needle drop to open videos, performance licensing to social media usage, we cover the basis to help you navigate music for your content needs. And disclaimer, if you have any questions or issues, please make sure you talk to your own legal department, as this is just a conversation to help educate you and not legal advice.
Let's clap on 35 here.
Oh, hold on. I'm not there.
Oh,
hold
wow.
On. Hold on. Hold on. I'm still looking.
Time only takes 5 seconds to get in.
No, I was there. I was looking at your site, bro.
Oh, my bad.
All right, what's the count, Brock?
52. Real weak clap on my part. I apologize.
I covered it up.
Darius, why are you wearing sunglasses, by the way?
Because I'm cool. I ain't hard to find. I'm prime time.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
All right. Today we have MG joining us from APM Sports. We're going to be talking music licensing, music education. So MG, appreciate you coming on, joining us, and sharing your wisdom with the music industry.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Justin. Thank you so much, Brock. Thank you, Darius.
I thought he was just going to stop at Brock and just not thank Darius. But
listen, I was waiting on that to happen.
I mean, just throwing him some shade, right?
Yeah, you should.
I was going to come back, but, you know, he cleaned that up a little bit. You know, still a little shade on the end, but I love it. It's family over here, baby.
Darius is wearing his sunglasses like a rock star.
I mean, we're talking to a rock star about music, so you have to show up like a rock star, right?
Oh, there you go.
You've been in the sports industry focused with APM for a number of years. Can you give us a little background into how you got into working on the sales side of music and how you got into the sports realm?
The short version of that is by any means necessary. I was in other industries. I was doing .com. I was doing Wall Street. And all I ever wanted to do was be in the music industry. And when friends of mine were getting married and having babies and buying houses, I kind of restarted my career, is the God's honest truth, at the age of 28, making all like no money to start off. And I actually fell into music licensing. I just was looking, frankly, for any job and had an itch I needed to scratch and fell into music licensing. And then the rest is history over the last 20 years. That's the God's honest truth.
So we've all at points fallen into something that, you know, just by happenstance. Let's talk about the importance of music licensing and how it really, you know, has taken an uptick in the last 10 years of the big change of industry with, you know, social media taking off and all that.
It's interesting, and I appreciate that question, because I think of the growth of our business and what the business looked like 10 years ago, or when we first started doing team licensing around, say, 2009, 2010, there might have been a coach's show. There might have been a little bit of board production. And that was kind of it. Maybe there was a social media coordinator or social media kid. And with digital and social media, the in-house production at pro teams, at colleges, and all across the board has exploded, and it completely changed the industry. And now when we're talking to all our different partners across all major leagues and college, and digital and social media is pretty important. And the you know, daily touch point of all their fans and sponsors and how people mainly engage. Over the last 3 years, music licensing has become more complicated. The rules of the game haven't changed, but the enforcement and the liability have gone through the roof. So it's interesting. Like, I've been, you know, at different conferences throughout the industry over the last 10 plus years. So the message hasn't changed. But again, the dollar signs of liability has. So trying to tell people how to do things right or present a solution is pretty exciting. When someone, you know, like you guys on the call, I've worked with the different capacities over the years, they have some kind of creative vision in their head. And usually, most of the time, it starts with music. You know, what am I trying to convey? What's the feeling? What's the mood? That's where it starts. And now to the simple, short, kind of politically correct podcast version is to do more cool stuff with people and be able to clear popular music to custom score something that hasn't existed and complement with our catalog is really exciting, because now there's more solutions to a problem compared to people being afraid of music. You don't need to be afraid of music. Music is your friend and always will be.
Let me rewind a little bit. Back before social media, when, you know, the big companies like Fox and ESPN, you know, doing feature stories, you know, in their shows, you know, whether it's pregame shows, halftime shows and all that, or just features. What were people doing for music before social media took off?
Well, back when the dinosaurs were around and when some of you guys weren't even born yet.
Yeah, back when you were born.
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, you know, at the end of the day. And that's how I kind of look how people's content strategies have changed and how, frankly, digital and social media content fits in. The entire structures and internal production units have changed completely, where there might have been a separate radio team, for example, or there might have been a separate broadcast team, or, you know, again, a social media kid. There is a comprehensive, the trend is very much in the direction of a comprehensive content team, where different people have different strategies, whether it be photo, whether it be video, whether it be digital, social media, what have you. And people are trying to figure out, again, where the content can go, how the content can be repurposed. But back in the day, say 10 years ago, I think it was a completely different time. But the way that people were searching music, you know, pretty similar through our website. Maybe even at that point, they might have still been going to CDs a little bit off of a shelf, which is completely wild if you think about that. The physical sensation and the tactile sensation of going to a shelf and reading the back of a CD case is kind of crazy. But people did it even before that, which is even wilder, when, you know, one of our most famous copyrights is the Monday Night Football theme, aka Heavy Action. Someone back in the day, ABC Sports, took a photograph, a record off a shelf, put it on a record player, which the term needle drop comes from, for an individual use, and listened to a record before they synchronized that for the open of that TV thing. So that's kind of the way that people browse, make the creative decision. But at the end of the day, it's listening to music, kind of trying to figure out the creative sensibility, and then setting the tone for that piece, whether it's a TV show, a stadium open, or a digital social media piece.
You used a key word there that I kind of want to dive into a little bit, and that's synchronize and a sync license, especially in the in-venue world. When you edit video to a piece of music, you are legally supposed to have a sync license. Am I correct?
You're correct, Brock, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because there seems to be a lot of confusion of what is a sync and what is a performance. And again, not a lot of this mattered, or again, there wasn't as much circumspection and people paying attention to what is, again, essentially an infringement. So there is something called a performance license, where through such organizations as ASCAP, CSAC, BMI, GMR, and a whole bunch of other great acronyms. Simply, if people that produce in stadium entertainment, if they want to have warm up music, if they want to have hype music, and they want to play Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne, you know, right before the kickoff, that just goes through the PA, that is not synchronized with something on a screen, that is performance license. We don't provide that. We provide the performance of when people are coming out of the tunnel, when people are doing a hype video, an open video, when people are walking out on the pitch, what have you, and you look at a screen and there's music that is specifically locked in and synchronized to that video, that is a synchronized license. And that is what we provide. It is very different than just playing, quote unquote, whatever music you want over the PA. When there is video attached to that music, that is a synchronization license. And that's where I think there's been a lot of confusion, a tremendous amount of liability, and a lot of unforeseen cost, where people might assume they have the rights under one thing, where unfortunately they don't. We've even seen it spill over, frankly, to cheerleader routines, dance routines, especially in the NBA, where people might assume that, okay, well, it's a halftime performance. Oh, well, we can do whatever we want. But if the social team is then picking up a clip of that performance, say, of that dance team, of that cheerleading team, and then putting that out on a cheerleading account, on a dance team account, especially in the NBA, that is a synchronization or an implied synchronization, that you don't have the rights for that DJ mix, for that song. And a lot of people have gotten in trouble where they might have assumed they had the rights to that kind of music, those music rights, when they did not. Good question, Brock.
So with that being said, you talked about how the cutoff of the performance and the synchronization. How did it come about for people to start getting sued and all that kind of stuff for using that? Has this always been a thing for a long time, or did social just amplify the approach?
I don't know. I mean, I've got a mixed personal professional feeling there. I think COVID, frankly, might have had part of why it happened. Maybe synchronization was down across all industries, and it's like, oh, where can we find some revenue? Well, we could find that in lawsuits. That's kind of more my personal opinion. Again, synchronization rules never really changed, but again, the policing of that happened. The other thing that I would describe in more of a practical manner is I've seen it over the years, say at the Idea Conference, where I've seen some incredible opens, incredible hype videos, where 3-4 years ago, you could have... You could have the Beatles, you could have the Rolling Stones, you could have Led Zeppelin, bands that would be on the do not even think about list used in these videos, but there was no liability. Was anyone paying $250,000 for Come Together? No. Was there rumors or an occasional lawsuit? There's a famous story, I think it's the Mets or the Dodgers years ago, where someone's at a baseball game and they hear Dream On, and they're sitting there watching the video in stadium, and the one person turns to the other person and is like, oh, how much did we get for that? And the person was apparently Aerosmith's manager. And the answer was, we didn't get any money for that. No one cleared that. So there might have been an anomaly here and there. But think about it this way. Within the popularity, the liking, the reposting, the retweeting of a digital social media piece, that increases the liability as the visibility goes up. So you got to be careful with what you're posting, because say something becomes viral and takes off, more people are going to see it, which thereby would increase the liability if you haven't cleared something properly.
I was going to ask about you were talking about the dance routines with the music playing. Is it worth talking about the difference between the music that APM provides versus the ASCAP BMI and the different kind of licensing that that goes into that stuff? Well,
yes and no. And again, I would default back to what I said before, the difference of a performance license over, you know, a PA versus a synchronization license, which something would, again, in essence, be synchronized on a board. But truth be told, I've even been pleasantly surprised through some of our NFL clients in reflection of the challenges of and the liability of DJ mixes, again, for cheerleader and dance routines. A couple of our NFL clients, the head of live entertainment or, you know, cheer dance routines, have reached out to us because they want to be able to have music, any music, used for that routine, apply our music in a similar fashion that they would apply popular music and do like a DJ mix, and then be able to thereby have the music in the routine in venue and then extract those clips and put it out on a digital social media channel. So I've even seen a recent trend, which again would be driven by legal departments, where a couple of our clients' accounts have gone silent movie, for lack of a better term. And I'm like, what's going on here? Well, what's going on there? Even though they say they have a license with us, legal department would be so conservative or so concerned that anything would slip out, whether it just is bled from a NAT sound on the field of someone on the field doing, you know, instantaneous highlights on a social media channel, that these accounts have gone silent movie. I've seen that a little bit in NFL and a little bit in the NBA. And I think that's also where the centralization of content teams has become very important, because in essence, you could have a conflict of interest of what an in-game entertainment team is trying to accomplish with popular music, and then the desire for instantaneous on-the-field highlights from a digital social media team. And you can't do, again, what you might have been doing 3 years ago of just letting anything and everything go, because there could be Welcome to the Jungle getting played in the background on a clip, which would be an implied sync, again, the minute it goes out to social media, and then all of a sudden you have Axel and management and their publisher coming after you. And you might not have intended it, but that is the reality and the challenges and danger. So I don't believe personally that a silent movie social media account is part of the solution, but you have to be a little bit more strategic about how you're using music and how you're planning it out, and not just reacting to the game and putting out any kind of content. So we've become a lot more engaged with legal departments. And as we were kind of chatting before, we did a call the other day with one of our MLS clients, where not only did we have the majority of the creative team on the call, but someone from legal joined us. That had never happened before. Usually legal would just be working on the contract language, or something would be handed off and they would be in the background. But comparatively to the policing or shutting down of solutions or music solutions, they were interested to understand better from a practical standpoint, not a contractual legal standpoint, to work together and collaborate with this creative unit, which was kind of exciting and saved a lot of people time. So if we're looking objectively at an entire MLS content strategy, then everyone's working together and rowing in the same direction to strategize, plan accordingly, budget accordingly, and not have to react to something that's unforeseen, that could, you know, blow up an entire budget if done improperly.
You've seen a lot of, especially with your company, but other companies as well. Like, there have been companies around for a while, but let's talk about the actual production of content. How valuable is licensed music, and how much have you seen that grow on the content creation side as these universities have also exploded and sports pro teams have expanded their staff? How important has music licensing been in that regard?
I wish I could have told you, Darius, that, you know, I had a vision you know, I had a dream 10 plus years ago that I knew that it would be a arms race off the field, specifically in university and athletic departments. It's remarkable of what some of the universities to see, like starting off with, you know, the OG Paul Dana, Gamecock Productions, one of the godfathers of APM Sports, starting there to see what they were doing. Then to see other universities come along like Clemson and completely change the game and have an army of students complement a lot of full-timers and lean into digital social media, not only as a branding tool, but a recruiting tool that changed everything. To see now, you know, friends and partners like at Georgia, you know, it is more robust than a lot of pro teams in terms of what they're doing and how they're doing it. I think, frankly, if I objectively look at it, this is kind of one of the first times a little bit I've thought about it, that college athletics has set the trend, has sent the model because of the competitive nature of how they're recruiting and putting people on the field comparatively to just, say, highlight clips, you know, on professional teams. It's different. And it's also exciting then to see now, say, some of the innovation and inspiration has come from college athletics of how that's translated to the major leagues and how different leagues are treating their overall content, but especially digital and social media. So to answer your question definitively, music has been really important in a lot of different ways. And I think now people are kind of getting their sea legs back and understanding of like, what's possible compared to just being scared that they're going to get sued. So it's an exciting new time. We'll see what this year has in store, but I'm having different kinds of conversations. We're having different kinds of conversations with our clients that we've never had before, which is pretty exciting.
And let's get a little educational here because some of us may know the ins and outs, but some of us don't. Let's compare if I wanted to license a real track that's on the radio. I want to do a cool feature. Talk about what goes into that as opposed to just going through a library of songs and just, you know, picking one that has a cool beat.
I could actually give a real life example that happened yesterday. And I think it's a great example of everything that we're talking about. So first off, big shout out to John Adams at The Score, who's now our official partner to clear popular music and provide that solution compared to just saying, don't even think about it. It's too expensive. It's too complicated. That also being said, maybe it's not as expensive as you thought, but it is complicated. So I get a call that our 6.5-year-old daughter is sick and I have to go scoop her up at her first grade class yesterday. And as I'm about to get out of the car at around 11:30, I get an emergency email for our friends in Philadelphia. They got a big game this weekend. They're putting together, I believe, what is a hype video for a game against my New York Giants. The joke was it was a personal and professional conflict of interest, but what they were doing is they were waiting, I believe, for management or the publisher to clear a song by The Roots. Although this isn't blowing up all the content, and this will come out after the fact, which I believe to be the case.
This will come out after, so you're good. Yeah.
So they didn't know if they could clear the check, because there's a lot of little pieces to the transaction to clear one song compared to having a massive catalog from APM of 1.1, 1.2 million tracks. So everyone down in Philadelphia on the other end of the turnpike were saying, we need a plan B in case we can't clear this song. Ideally, it would have been more than an hour before the post was going to go out. But thank God for our music directors and some people, on the clock a little bit early in LA, and we were able to put together a bunch of alternative tracks, provide an additional solution to their goal of getting this hype video out to build up anticipation for this weekend in case The Roots didn't come through. Of course, The Roots track did come through at the last minute, and I'll have to check it out. But again, let's go back to their goal. Their goal is to get their fan base excited, to build anticipation with a hype video. And there were two different ways they could have gone. Do they want to go with the roots? Of course they do. You know, Philadelphia band, associate it with the area. You know, they want to do it. But is that going to be expensive? Yes. And a little bit more complicated for a transaction for one track? Absolutely. You know, can we help out with that now? Sure. And we can complement that with a plan B just in case it doesn't happen. So I'm curious to see the video myself, but that was a little bit of a fire drill to get to hit their goal in time.
It was interesting to hear you talk about how content teams have to think ahead a little bit more as opposed to just reacting, reading, reacting, posting, whatever. And as things have changed over the course of the last couple years, there's also been some popular music that's available in these apps now because of how things have gone that is not necessarily something that people can use, even though it's available for personal use, so to speak. Is that something that you'd be willing to speak to or talk about how that impacts the music and the sync licensing and some of those kinds of things?
So I believe what you're asking is that there's a couple different tools. And the way that I look at this realistically, just like we're able to provide additional solutions with us clearing popular music or providing custom music and complement to our catalogs, that there's other tools out there. And there's other catalogs out there, and there's a lot of solutions. So I believe what you're alluding to, Justin, is in TikTok or in Instagram Reels, that there is, quote unquote, a music library or popular music that you can use in there. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. So there's been a lot of confusion around that. And again, probably realistically, there wasn't a lot of policing around that. But the essential difference, if Brock wants to post, a video about his kids, and
yep, I'm big on TikTok,
huge. You know, if him and his kids want to do a dance routine, to Encanto, they can do that. But if the Boston Celtics want to do that, they can't do that. There's a difference between a personal account in a professional verified account. I'm probably using the wrong terms. Then things got even weirder over the summer, and we're still kind of working this out. Big shout out to our copyright and legal department, where the end of July, a bunch of our MBA clients reached out to us and they said, what is APM's stance on UGC? I was like, okay, kind of what are you talking about here? For the end of July, especially on the MBA side, when up to a particular point, say mid-July, anyone would post and it would just be a post. Then what would happen is that any post turned into a reel. And then when it turned into a reel, it would go into a UGC library where then, any of our kids or nieces or nephews could go in and then like remix that UGC. So then music rights are getting even weirder and they're getting nuanced. So one thing I can say, going back again to when dinosaurs were roaming the earth and there was just TV and stuff like that, technology will always outpace the legalities and the rights. So all of a sudden some algorithm or something changes on TikTok and on Instagram Reels, and legal departments from the NBA are asking us, are you aware of this? And how do we deal with this? And what we did, which is kind of cool, again, to see in the direction we're heading, we started working with those legal departments to figure out how we cover them, how we protect them, and then how we solve this new situation that seemingly came out of nowhere. But it's pretty wild. I wouldn't say it's the Wild West, but things are constantly changing and constantly evolving. And it's always going to be the bleeding edge on digital social media.
So we, to take it in a different direction from just TikTok Reels and Instagram, you also have this beautiful thing called name, image, and likeness in recruiting in the college space. How are you and, maybe competitors as well dealing with how to help schools figure out what they can and can't do, because now other platforms are allowing, you know, with other music license or whatever, with music companies, the ability to produce stuff with real music.
So I was going to say pass, but I know that that's not going to be really helpful or provide a utility to the user base. But that's a great example going back to a complement of tools. There's other, I don't know if you would call them platforms, technology providers, such influencer, such as Open Doors, where through NIL, these different athletes can go and they can begin to monetize their name, image, likeness, and get different kinds of sponsorships. What they can also do is that in some of these platforms, there's a limited amount of catalog that's clear to there. We are talking to other different people and other different platforms out there to try to help figure out how to address that need, again, of music at the end of the day, for athletes to monetize their own name, image, likeness, and incorporate music within their own content comparatively to team content. So I started hearing about this even before really name, image, likeness came about, when we'd be talking to our Power Five clients and kind of like, how are you guys dealing with highlight reels? Some schools would be like, cool, no problem. You know, it's our content. We can provide it for athletes, no problem. And then there would be other universities, again, that would be extremely conservative. And they said, it is our brand, it's our footage, we're not even going to give it out to any athletes. So now, point being, is somewhere's in between with NIL. What does that look like? How do you compare an individual's brand within the context of an overall brand? So I think NIL is one of the most confusing, emergently and rapidly changing parts of the overall industry. And you know, I wouldn't say we're not quite there yet, but I think even in terms of how people are producing and managing and distributing content is still kind of being addressed, and even more specifically of how music rights is incorporated within there. So kind of a TBD as everything's changing quickly.
And let me back up a little bit, because I think this is important. I keep saying real music. Give us the correct definition and distinguish between what you provide as a service and what we're comparing it to.
Yeah, I think, no offense taken, by the way, Dave. So I think I'll provide like a little bit of a music glossary. So there is production music, which people like APM Music or Universal Production Music provide. That is properly royalty music licensing. There's other people out there, I think, like Music Bed or what is it, Epidemic, that are royalty free buyout music. That is another kind of solution. Then in terms of music that you would, you know, hear on Spotify, for example, you've got popular music, known artists, known bands, known commodities, popular music. Then you have custom music, where a composer, potentially ours or anyone else out there, would write something, produce something that's never existed before, that is very typical in films, very typical in trailers, that you would see that someone would create something specific for that piece of content. That would be custom music. So again, there's lots of different solutions to have music in your particular piece of content.
As this landscape moves forward, what's one piece of advice you could give to teams? Is it engage with your legal team more? Would that be your advice, or is it something beyond that?
I think that's kind of it. I think you just really hit the nail on the head. I'm not going to say that this particular MLS team is groundbreaking or icebreaking, but I think, you know, similar to my experience of like, quote unquote, sales marketing alignment, I think it's like creative legal alignment and how two different departments work together. Again, just not too long ago, where a radio department might work with a broadcast department, or broadcast department might work with digital social media and in stadium. You know, everyone's on the same team. So how do they work together to achieve that common goal of that kind of strategy? And I think that, frankly, in my experience, the legal department might appreciate more engagement and involvement compared to we need a mop in aisle three to clean up something that would be done improperly. I've heard from a lot of our pro team legal departments that, say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they weren't really spending a lot of time on music. Even some of our NFL clients, let alone NBA clients, now spending an upwards of 20 to 25% of every day working in relation to music rights, because think of how much content is coming out of these professional and collegiate athletic departments. You know, the volume of content only continues to exponentially go up. But I think what's interesting is that it's not, again, segregated departments and pieces of content. It's how the overall strategy works. So in relation to, say, preseason soccer, all right, we have all these great ideas. We have all this stuff that we want to do. Okay, well, how do we do it budgetarily? How do we do it creatively? And how do we do it in the proper legal way to not get ourselves in trouble or create more work or in anticipated cost with everyone working together?
I'm thinking about how to phrase this question.
You put the shades on, it'll help.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
There we go. All right. So there are a lot of music options out there. Talk about the importance of building, you know, for a entity, whether it's a sports team, whether it's a department, whether it's, you know, a college, whatever. Talk about the importance of building, not only, you know, to go off Brock's question, with legal, but also building a relationship with the companies that you're encompassing music for, because not to, you know, single out you or APM, but I think that that's one thing that you all provide, is that relationship with the client, as opposed to if you were trying to use a song on from Sony or somewhere else that you're paying a license, there's not really a relationship there. But talk about the importance of relationship with a company and how that provides an advantage.
Well, I appreciate that question. And I think that that's one thing that a big mantra with my team, with our team, is, you know, we can't control the competition. We can't control the challenges. But what we can control is the customer experience. So like in a situation where Eagles are like I've been working at APM for over 15 years. I've never had to turn something around in an hour or work with our music directors to turn something in over an hour. But because of my relationship with the Eagles that goes back over 10 years, Eric was able to like shoot a flare up and say, we need help. So in terms of how we're working with people and how we're engaging with people, you know, it goes way above and beyond just like, oh, here's a login and a password. We've had to also spend more time in the last 2 years because we've seen so much turnover, so much transition between teams, between colleges, between broadcasters and any production entity, that people might not be aware of all the tools we provide. They may not be aware of all the services that we can provide. And again, we can control that. Does it take a tremendous amount of time? Absolutely. But trying to just help people out, save time, again, we can control that. You know, like, it doesn't matter that we might have the best website or the best music out there. If people can't find that one track to replace it, the Roots track for the hype video for tomorrow's game for the Eagles, like they were even saying, and again, not to overshare because this will come out later, they were like, we're looking, but we need help. That's where the relationship comes in. And we've built this business one relationship at a time. Has it been one account at a time? Has it been one deal at a time? It's been about relationships. And it's interesting because you know, providing additional transparency when I'm talking with other departments and other vertical markets. I think what we have in sports entertainment is pretty special and pretty different. There's a lot of other challenges, say in advertising, say in trailers, say in feature film, where, you know, I'm looking at the video right now of the Eagles for something that we were involved with yesterday. And if I want to, if I didn't know it was the Roots track, and it literally says it in the bottom, I could probably email them and say, hey, guys, can you please confirm this was our track? And it might be up on our social media channels. You know, it's not about us. It's about our clients and their brands and their content. And it's my joke, but it's true. It's like they sell it better than me. I'm not the one producing the content. We're providing the tools. We're providing the service. And that's what we can control. So they can distill and create of what they want to do. And that's what's exciting to me. And again, that's what we can control at the end of the day, is focus on the relationship and how we can help people.
That was a great answer, by the way.
A lot of mistakes along the way, man. A lot of mistakes along the way. But it's, I don't know, I think that's like the coolest part of the job, frankly, is to see what everyone does. You know, it's not about us. If we make it be about us, they might not reach out. You know, they might not care. They might be completely indifferent and they might go somewhere else. But if they know that there's someone on the other end of the phone, other end of the text, other end of the Slack, or other end of the email, you know, that's again what we can control and that's what we can help. And that makes it a lot more exciting.
Personally, what's your favorite part of what you do?
I think that it's a great question. For me, over the last 2 years, with the reemergence, you know, kind of post COVID, late COVID, or whatever, now, as a father of a 9-year-old and a 6.5-year-old, is now, frankly, being able to share the experience of like what daddy does with them. Going to a Knicks game or a Yankees game or a Giants game, which is really something that's been quite pretty wild. They've gone to 3-4 games with our son Jack this year. And then he says, daddy, is that your music? And I go, well, Jack, it's not my music. It's our music. When they come out of the tunnel, the Giants come out of the tunnel or whatever, is pretty mind-blowing. You know, to just share the experience and help them understand what they do. And again, it's not about the perks and the access and the field, but just have them experience and see them light up and get excited about what's going on. That's, I could have never anticipated that. And that's probably one of the most rewarding, exciting things to watch them experience it now.
What's been your favorite project that you've seen, you know, your music play in? I know you mentioned Monday Night Football. Everybody gets to experience that without even knowing where that track comes from, mostly. But what are some... what are possibly some other favorites that you have?
There's been a lot of great ones over the last year. You know, the custom music project we did with the Mets, the custom music project we did with my New York Giants. But, the Monday Night Football, you know, the remix was pretty mind-blowing. But even, I would say it's the next one. I know that sounds so cliche, but it really is. We're working with so many different people on so many different things, and it's kind of seasonal in nature relative to the production schedule and the season schedule of these teams. So it's exciting to get in early talks with people of like, what are they thinking? What are you thinking about for the playoffs? What are you thinking for this Open? What are you thinking here? Again, I think we're getting into a different space where we're not like a music supervisor like you would see on a feature film or a TV show or something long form, but we're beginning to really collaborate with our partners over a macro content strategy. And that is like super exciting, where compared to it's like a track, a piece of content, it's like, okay, what are your big moments? What do you want to do for this? You know, do you have a special anniversary or celebration this season? Do you, are there, what are you guys thinking for the overall picture, and how do we help provide it there? We're, again, I think it's early days for that, but we're having very different discussions, again, providing, you know, just here's the new picks for January. And it's really exciting.
Yeah, I think back to our conversation, gosh, it's probably been 3 or 4 years ago now, when we were talking about, hey, can we get more hip hop, more hip hop? Can you talk a little bit about the some of the challenges maybe of expanding the library in certain areas or certain styles? Are there still some of those hurdles in getting music cleared on your end in order to be able to provide it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, I got that feedback, which was pretty tough to hear, but important to hear. I think it was 5-6 years ago when we were in Atlanta at Sports Video Group's College Summit. And essentially I was told by more than one client, your hip hop sucks. And there's two different things I could do at that moment. I could be defensive. I could get offended, or I could listen to them and try to ask some questions and understand, well, what do you guys need? So I think from that, another one of the big mantras on the team is our responsibility is twofold. What do people want? Number one. And what do people need? Number two. So again, back to what Darius was saying about the relationship, but we have relationships where we can talk to people and say, what do you need? What do you want? This OG burgeoning boomer might be educated about what drill music is. I have no idea what the hell drill music is, but I know that our clients need it. And then our responsibility is to go and find it. So back to the hip hop thing, we needed more domestic hip hop. Why did we need more domestic hip hop? Because we have a lot of universities. How are we going to take care of their existing needs in the collegiate athletic market? And then how are we going to grow that business if we are not matching their needs? Or how are we going to do the same thing to take care of the existing needs of our NFL clients or growing needs of our NFL clients, let alone the NBA clients? Domestic hip hop is going to be integral within those markets. And again, it's not about the dollars. It's not about the deals. It's about their needs. And all we got to do is ask them. So music's always changing. Music's always evolving. There's always something new. And we're lucky that, you know, we're co-owned by two of the largest music publishers in the world, being Universal and Sony. And we get great music from them. And then we have a tremendous amount of independent artists and catalogs that we work with to complement that. But I think it's like completing the feedback loop, where we see what people are using, you know, to stay on trend. But then again, at the end of the day, it's just asking people what they want, need, and then going back to those publishers, going back to those composers and telling them, this is what our clients need. And I think that's one of the trends I've seen that's changed over, like, say, the last 5 years, where publishers, composers might just be putting out a bunch of music and kind of hoping that it meets the mark. But it literally might have been that discussion that was, again, a real tough one to have, where before I left Atlanta, I was on the phone with our president saying, we need better hip hop or we're going to lose.
Is that also an opportunity now that, I mean, even 7-8 years later after that conversation first happened, is there an opportunity for you all to kind of step into that arena of finding new untapped, unsigned artists instead of them looking for the big major, you know, deal? Music has changed as a whole. I mean, now yeah. I could go and record this podcast and put it on Tidal as a track if I wanted to. It's
no one would buy it,
though. The Wild West. No one would play it.
But, not without the sunglasses. No.
Exactly. So, is there now an opportunity for you all to kind of, you know, reset a trend in the music world, especially now that you have clients and, you know, Universal and Sony are signing other deals to allow popular music on platforms?
I think there's a space in between, and I'll provide an example of and try to connect a couple dots to get back to the relationship. So say 5-6 years ago, people kept asking us, "You guys have sound effects? Do you guys have sound effects? Do you guys have sound effects?" And we didn't. We do now. But through those conversations and through those discussions, what people were really asking for was sound design. So I got a crash course through that, which again, I could be taken offense to or I could be defensive, was understanding really what they meant and really what they needed. And what they needed, lo and behold, was something that we had. Lo and behold, it was something that was being used in our trailer market, in our feature film market, with rises and whooshes and hits and sub drops. Makes total sense in a trailer market. But then in relation to social media, in relation to opens, the stadium opens, and then hype videos, was taking that application and that solution to fulfill that need. So a little teaser trailer, ... coming soon. In other markets like advertising specifically, and in feature films and long form TV, a lot of that stuff, there's been an increased desire and want and need for independent artists. By the way, we do have a lot of independent artists and people that are performing, recording out there, and we help provide synchronization and exposure for their music currently. Has that need increased? Yes. Just like the hip hop perceived deficit or realistic deficit from 5+ years ago, there is that need now. That is one of our big initiatives that again started in feature film, TV, trailer, and advertising to address this year to address that need. So point being is I think that there's a space in between popular artists and say production music. That somewhere's in between for that independent artist where, who was telling me yesterday? I don't know if it was a baseball team or a soccer team. I think it was a soccer team. And they were saying, they were talking about one of our competitors, again, relationship. I'm like, why do you guys like them? Well, they have a lot of independent artists. Okay, well, how are you using that music? Oh, well, I really like this one independent artist. We found this one sad piano song and it just hit the mark. It's our show open. It's our long form docuseries open. And then we go into that artist. We go into that composer to understand other music that that composer and artist does. So at that point, a light bulb went off in my head and it was like, well, one, we can do that. We can show you how to do that with the existing catalog, but that totally makes sense of why maybe we're not their exclusive music provider if they're getting something from someone else that they're not getting from us. So it could be taken as criticism or it could be taken relative as feedback, which is really helpful at the end of the day, depending on how I received that message. But it was tremendously insightful. And again, the good news is that it's coming. It's coming this year.
Last question I'll ask. Where would you like to see the music industry as it relates to royalty or royalty-free music go as we continue to? Because as you alluded to earlier, the technology always outpaces the legalities of everything. So where would you like to see the next couple of years go as it relates to what you do and the entire music industry?
I'd like to see overall people continue to get as much music as they need in the most painless, reasonably priced way as possible to ultimately, again, distill the vision that they have. Music rights can be very complicated, very scary, but it doesn't need to be. And again, I think it goes back to what you said before. It goes back to the relationship. So I'd like to see, personally, the music industry move away from litigation and lawsuits and takedowns and strikes and all that kind of mean stuff, of bridging that gap to figure out how to work with brands, how to work with teams, how to work with leagues to empower creative people to do what they want in, again, a fair, reasonable, easy way. I'd like to see the industry move closer. And I think that that's what's kind of wild for me is, as much as we're educating our clients and our partners, we're educating the publishers, the composers, and the writers of what people need. So again, it comes to relationships, closing and completing that feedback loop to ultimately create an optimal experience where people can use all the tools that they need out there above and beyond just APM and all the service that they need to execute what they want in a reasonable, timely manner and fashion.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the sports creative community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.